Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. So this is the third beatitude here in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 5. I would invite you to hear the words of Jesus who says this: "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Amen. Would you do something with me this morning? Would you repeat after me? Meekness is not weakness. Ready? Meekness is not weakness. Let's do that one more time. Ready? Meekness is not weakness. Very good. See, we cannot go anywhere with this beatitude. We cannot begin to let our light shine in this sort of way unless we understand what it is to be meek. And when we talk about meekness, we're not talking about that 21st century characterization of meekness, how we often think about meekness today. Because if I were to ask you this morning, how would you describe what it means to be meek? Or how would you describe a meek person? What words would you use? Maybe you'd use words like passive or spineless or docile or maybe even wary or subservient. Would those be some words that maybe would come to mind? Or maybe it's better for us to kind of see this. And so what are some TV or movie characters that you would describe that we often think of as meek? Would you call this, let's go to the first one here, this person meek? Does anybody know Stewart from The Big Bang Theory? Always talking like this, right? Or maybe we're more familiar with this next guy, Toby. From The Office, kind of gets pushed around a little bit by a certain boss, yes. Or maybe this one, Ned Flanders. I don't know a lot of Simpsons. We were not allowed to watch The Simpsons when I was growing up, but I'm going to look. Brad, I know you're a big Simpsons fan. Ned, is he meek? We call him meek. Yeah, okay. Or maybe this one, some of us might know this one from Little Mermaid. Flounder, so nice, right? But I really think that the epitome of a TV character that would be described as meek is this guy right here. Jerry Gergich. Do you know who Jerry Gergich is from Parks and Rec? He is a fantastic character in this TV show, and he is cast as uber passive. And he's almost too nice because he becomes the butt of all the jokes. And he gets blamed for everything that goes wrong, whether it's in his wheelhouse of responsibilities or not, and he just takes it. And all the work continues to get dumped on him, and he just, oh, okay, I'll take that as well. He just happily receives it. And to top it off with Jerry is that Jerry is not even his real name. It's Gary. And his coworkers don't even know for a long time, and when they do find out his real name is Gary, they don't care. They call him Jerry, they call him Larry, they call him Terry throughout the show. And he just takes it. And so this is sort of what is in our minds today in our 21st century world of what it means to be meek. Which then completely skews our understanding of this beatitude. Because that's not at all the biblical understanding of meekness. Especially when two of the most prominent figures in all of Scripture are described as meek. One of them is Moses. And Westview, if you remember, we spent from Easter on all the way through the summer, we spent a whole bunch of time in Moses. And would we describe Moses in that 21st century characterization of meek as someone who's passive and shy and a little spineless? We just call Moses that? No, we know Moses had a temper, didn't he? He had a little chutzpah to him, right? I mean, Moses had a little fortitude because he had to deal with all those whiny and complaining people all the time. And Moses had some times where that patience would run short. And so Moses, he's described though in Scripture as being meek. Do you know who the other person who's described as being meek is in Scripture? Sunday school answer time, ready? Jesus, yeah, Jesus. And would we call Jesus passive? Would we call him spineless? Not at all. Jesus, he confronted those who were doing wrong. Right? He stood up against enemies. Jesus literally was brought to the very edge of a cliff by a hostile crowd, and he walked right through that antagonistic people. And of course, Jesus went all the way to the cross for our sins. And so then what does it mean to be meek? What does it mean from a biblical perspective to be meek? Because then we want to be able to let our light shine in that way. What's it mean to be meek? Well, let's go all the way back to the word in the Greek. And the Greek word is a very short word. It's praus. It's a fun one, right? You're dying to say it. I know you are. So say it with me. Ready? Praus. Praus. It's short, but it's hard. Praus. And that word, praus, we have to come at it from a whole bunch of different angles to fully understand what that word conveys. And so we're going to start here to understand praus and to understand what it means to be meek. We're going to start with Aristotle and Goldilocks. Okay, does that sound like those two should go together? That's where we're going to start, though. Okay, so Aristotle, right, this big thinker, smart dude, long time ago, he had a line of thinking when it came to all virtues, not just meekness, but all sorts of virtues. He had a particular line of thinking, and we're going to call it this. You're not going to find this in the textbook. This is the JVL version. We're going to call it the Goldilocks formula. Because you remember Goldilocks and the three bears? Remember the story? Goldilocks, I mean, it's kind of a creepy little story, right? She, like, trespasses into this house and starts eating this food and goes to, you know, bed, you know. So Goldilocks, she goes in their house, in the bear's house, and what does she do? She eats the porridge. And some of the porridge is too hot, and some of the porridge is too cold, and then she finds some of the porridge is just right. And then the story goes on, and then she eventually ends up upstairs, and she's going to their beds, and one of the beds is too hard, and the other bed is too soft, and then the third bed is what? Just right. That's how Aristotle defined virtues. Aiming to find the happy medium between two extremes. And in particular to meekness, this is what Aristotle said. He defined meekness as the happy medium between excessive anger and excessive angerless. The middle of too much anger and too little anger, that's what equals meekness. Or another way of saying it is the balance of the right time and the wrong time of expressing anger. Anger is an emotion, just like happiness and joy and sadness, that God has given to us. And there's a right time for anger and there's a wrong time for anger. And we know what the wrong time is, right? We know the wrong time of anger when it's self-seeking or when someone's done something to me and I'm going to get them back. I've been insulted, I've been hurt, and so I'm going to get vengeance or revenge. Yes, that's that wrong time of anger when it's self-seeking. But there's also a right time for anger. And the world needs this right time of anger. Anger that is rooted when we see injustices in this world, when we see that things are not the way that they should be, and we are stirred to action. When people are hurt or injured or held down or persecuted. Sometimes we call this, we've heard the phrase before, righteous anger at the wrongs of this world. A right time to use this right kind of anger. And I don't know if we've ever thought about this way before, but so much of what we do is driven by this right anger. Think about it with me. Doctors are driven by a right kind of anger because they have these patients who are hurting. They're suffering, whether acutely or chronically. And what do doctors do? They try to help them. They try to resolve and relieve the pain that they're experiencing. Teachers are motivated by a right kind of anger, because they want to raise a next generation of citizens of this world and leaders of this world who are going to continue to make this world a better and better place. And as Christians, in the same way, we are to be motivated by this right kind of anger, that when we see hurt and we see brokenness and we see pain in this world that is caused by sin, we are stirred and we are driven to seek wholeness and restoration. And it's not about self, it's not about selfish gain, but it's pursuit of God's kingdom and God's righteousness. And so one way to understand meekness is knowing and manifesting that right balance. The right anger at the right moments for the right things. That's meekness. To give us another image of what meekness is, I'm going to show you another picture here on the screen. Does anybody know what this is? It's a halter. And I so wish I was holding one in my hands right now, but I forgot to ask my dad to bring one down from the farm last time he came down. Right? It's a halter. And we would use, my siblings and I, we would use a halter like this when we were training our 4-H calves for the fair. We would show calves. We would go to the next picture here. I know that's a beef cattle. We showed dairy. I know the difference, and I did not have time today to go, or this week, to go up in the attic in our garage to find the one picture. You know, they're not on phones. They're actual pictures. And I did not have time to find one of little old me leading a calf. But you'll just have to pretend this morning, okay? But we would lead our calves for the fair with a halter just like this. The Greek word praeus, it often refers to an animal that has been domesticated. An animal that has learned and has been trained to obey a command, or that has been learned to obey the reins. One example would be like that I read about was like this galloping stallion that's going full speed ahead, and then when its rider says halt or stop, it listens to its voice and stops immediately. That's what helped me think of this idea of training calves for the fair. Now, cows are certainly more domesticated than a wild Mustang stallion, but cows are not like your cuddly little puppy that you hold in your lap, right? They're wildish animals. We still keep them in pens. And as kids, we would have to teach them and help them get ready for the fair. Now, I don't know if you know anything about calves or cows, but they are incredibly skittish animals. They are afraid of everything. Those eyes are bulging for a reason, right? And so they're so afraid. And so they would have to get used to us. And we would put that halter on the calf. And we would have to work with them over and over and over again so that they got used to our mannerisms, so they got used to our voice, they got used to our tendencies, and got used to how we'd want to walk them in a certain way, and how we'd want to back them up a certain way, and how we'd want to get them set up for the judge in a certain way. And it was hard. It was hard to do this, to train these calves. It took time. It took effort day after day. And it was hard at the beginning, and not just at the beginning of every year, right? Because you always had to start over in the spring and get ready for the fair. But it was hard at the beginning of 4-H because I was not 6'4", 200 pounds back then. Little 10-year-old me in fourth grade, 4-H, was 80 pounds. And I figured out 8 pounds a year. That's okay, right? And I was leading an 800-pound heifer calf. Just a little difference, right? And that calf, if he wanted to, or she wanted to, they could buck their heads and take me for a ride. And they could try to get away, and I would have to let go of the halter, and they'd run off. Because they were strong, they had power, they had strength that I could not contain. But in time, using the halter, working with them every day, they would get to be more comfortable with us. They'd get comfortable with our movements and our mannerisms and our voice. And even the sounds that we would make to have them move forward. We'd use a sound like, and if we did that, I can't do it real loud, a little dry as I'm talking here. But they would hear that and they would know that was time to move forward. Okay, how does that relate to meek? Meekness is, we should not think of meekness as sort of being like under control, like the slave to a halter. But rather the idea here that Jesus is saying is, blessed is the person who has the strength, who has intent, who has purpose, who has passion, and is under control. Almost like a restraint of sorts. That we're not flying out of control, flying off the handle with everything that's going on. We just go crazy all the time, right? And so some of us might call meekness, well, we could call it self-controlled. And that's a pretty good word, I think, but it's not quite all the way there. It goes just a little further than that. Meekness is not just being self-controlled, but meekness is one who is God-controlled. Meekness is not running wild and doing whatever we want and, oh, I got this idea and I got this opinion and this is my prerogative and we go crazy with it. But instead we have a passion, we have a hunger, we have that strength, and we have that desire, and yet we submit ourselves to God and we place our lives in His hands and into His will, into His way. And instead of bucking around like a calf would do or showing strength and running off and I would have to release the halter, we instead allow our lives to be lived in God's ways, under God's control. That's meekness. And if we could just take a little sidestep from that, can we also say that's also our salvation? Because we do not inherit this, we do not enter our spiritual inheritance in Christ because we're so strong, because we're so powerful, because we got these great ideas. We receive salvation because we humbly submit ourselves to the Lordship of our Savior Jesus Christ. That's meekness. And so, in one aspect, meekness is this right balance and the right anger in the right ways at the right time. And meekness is wanting to live with our passion and our strength under God's will and God's control. Another way of understanding meekness is through the strength of humility. It's an awareness and it's an openness that we do not have it all together all the time. And if you need me to say that again, I will. I'll just tell you, we do not have it all together all the time. Meekness is an acceptance that in this life, we still have much to learn. In this life, we still have much to grow in. We have much to be forgiven of. We have much still to embrace. And so to be meek is to understand we have some ignorance. We have some blind spots. We have some weaknesses. We have some need. And that doesn't mean that we are, oh, woe is me, and we cry about this or anything like that. But rather, meekness is having a proper perspective of who we are because of whose we are. Meekness is not about knowing this power that we have and this power that we might be tempted to use or that we might be seduced to flex that strength at times. But rather, meekness is resting in the power that is of Jesus Christ. That power of Jesus Christ that is in us is not exercising power for our own glory. It's not about self-gain. It's not about boosting our status. But because of the power of Jesus Christ that is within us, we have the strength, we have the confidence to be gentle. We're confident enough because of who Jesus is and the power that is found in Him. We have confidence enough to be patient. We are confident enough to be kind. We are confident enough to look out for the interests of others before our own. We are confident enough to love one another. You know what that requires? That requires strength. Meekness is not weakness, as we said earlier, but meekness is the way of strength. It's this strength that is within us. Strength that we don't have to be belligerent. We don't have to be a braggart. We don't have to belittle others. We do not have to boost ourselves up by stepping on the backs of others. But meekness requires incredible strength. Strength in the restraint of the power that we think we have. And instead, strength that we rest in the power that is in Christ and who we are in Christ. Westview, this whole discipleship thing we're exploring today and in the next few weeks and over the next few months even, and particularly in this fall, this whole idea of letting our light shine, this whole thing about discipleship, it's not about us. It's not about the dollars or the degrees or the distinctions. It's not about how much or how many or how great that the world thinks that we are. It's not about how loud we are, or how much we can boast, or the muscles that we can flex, or how quick-witted we are. And let me just name here, and I'll just stop right here. We have some amazing people in this room. There are some incredibly smart people here. There are some incredibly strong individuals here. There are some people who are quick-witted. There are people who are ingenious. There are people, there are movers and shakers in this world, in this room. But Jesus says, blessed are the meek. Blessed who recognize that their strength is not about themselves, or about themselves, or in themselves. Blessed are those who recognize that our strength is the one in whom we find ourselves. Meekness is having the strength to find our rest in Christ. Which, can we just name, it is so the opposite of what we experience today. You know, when we think about the strategies that are used today to inherit the earth, right? I was talking with a pastor friend of mine this week, and we were talking about what we're preaching on, and we both said, you know, this whole idea of meekness is so impractical today. Because this is not how the world works. When we think about inheriting the earth, when we think about gaining all the things of life, or if we're going to put it crassly, right, to rule the world. The practical way, or the analytics, are going to tell us we need someone who's loud and boastful and uber confident and it can give repeated demonstrations of strength and who can put down others to boost themselves up. In other words, a bully. And the sad thing about a bully, besides having to experience one, but the sad thing about a bully is that they do not have the strength to be anything else. All they know is how to use a sharp tongue and their intellect and their perceived muscle to humiliate and control. They don't have the strength to know when not to use their power and might. They don't have the strength to humble themselves and not to make it all about themselves and to make it all about their glory. They don't have the strength enough to find their rest in Christ. They don't have the strength to be me. And Jesus says, blessed are the meek. I love this quote from a book that I was able to borrow as I was studying for this series. This is a quote from J. Ellsworth Kallis. He writes this: the secret of meekness is not having nothing, but to have power, resources, and strength, and yet not be influenced by them or made arrogant by their potential. Meekness is not weakness. Would you say that again with me? Meekness is not weakness. Meekness requires incredible strength. And it's those who, according to Jesus, will inherit the earth, which I know seems so backwards today, in how people try to obtain power and influence and control. And yet the words of Jesus tell us a different story. The way of a disciple of Jesus is a different way. Therefore, as a disciple, for us to let our light shine, it is different than what we see in this world. It's not by power. It's not by words. It's not by might. It's not about boasting. It's not about putting others down to gain influence and that we think that is the way that we will have strength and to have respect in the land. But blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Psalm 37 is a great, great psalm, and we're going to hear a few verses of it later in this worship service. But in Psalm 37, the psalmist spends the first 10 verses or so trying to convince and persuade the reader, don't fret, don't be scared, don't worry about the trickery and the treachery of evil people. But instead, trust in the Lord. And those first 10 verses go on and on, and then it comes to verse 11 where it says this, "But the meek will inherit the earth and enjoy great peace." Not the spineless or the passive or the pushovers, not the braggarts or the bullies, the meek. Those who know how to use their strength and when to exercise righteous anger and that chutzpah for the greater good of this world. Those who live God-controlled lives. Yes, to having strength and yes, having might and yes, having power, but refined in a way that is under God's will. Those who know that their power and their might is not their own, but their strength comes because of who they find their rest in, Jesus Christ. It's those who are meek. It's those who demonstrate the strength of meekness. And it's those who let their light shine. And Wesley, let's just name this morning that we simply, let's just name that this is the kind of a light that our world needs to have shining today. Can we agree to that today? Because for us and in us and through us as disciples of Jesus Christ, particularly in this crazy season that we're in right now, how desperate are our communities and how desperate is our nation for this kind of light to shine, the light of meekness. We're Christians. Who are those who say we know Jesus and we love Jesus and we follow Jesus, disciples of Jesus, that we exhibit the right kind of anger in the right ways, that we live God-controlled lives and we have the power because we find our rest in Jesus Christ. Westview, our world needs us to shine our light in this way, demonstrating the strength that it is to be meek. This is the way. This is the way of Jesus. This is the call of Jesus when he says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." May it be so. Amen. Pray with me, please. God, we thank you today for this thought-provoking word from Jesus. And thank you for how it makes us think beyond our current understanding of meekness and instead wrestle with the biblical definition and the biblical call to be meek. And God, as we continue to process this together, and can we pause, God, and just confess that even as we learn more about biblical meekness, we've exercised our own strength and we've even exhibited anger in ways that have been self-satisfying. God, we want to confess today that we have valued at times harshness and toughness over tenderness and gentleness. That we have, God, we confess that we have concerned ourselves, we've chosen to concern ourselves over the things that matter to us rather than the situations of our brothers and our sisters and our neighbors. God, we confess that for us, meekness has been at times being too quiet and shying away from injustices this world faces, and also at times bulldozing forward without regard to the wake that is left behind. So God, as we wrestle with this idea of meekness and we confess this to you, God, would you forgive us? And Holy Spirit, would you teach us each day what it is to be meek? The kind of meekness that Jesus speaks of here and calls us to here. The kind of meekness that will gain the right kind of standing and the right kind of influence in this world. Lord, as we come in prayer together today as a congregation, we again are grateful for an opportunity to gather together and for the opportunity to worship, to grow together. We thank you for ministry opportunities, mission opportunities, the work later this week, youth groups that meet. We celebrate again the sacrament of grace, the sacrament of promise and baptism with little Addison. As a church family, may we surround her and all our young people as we continue on this journey together of knowing who Jesus is. And we look forward to the day when she and so many others will stand before us and claim this great faith of their own. Holy Spirit, lead and guide. God, we also pray for the things that are not right in this world. Those things that do stir up a righteous anger within us. Those things that compel us to action, that drive us to our knees in prayer. And so we name and we pray for the overall unrest and unsettledness in our nation. during this political season. And far be it from us as followers of Jesus to contribute to the mayhem through our words, our social media posts, our actions, and even our thoughts of those who think differently than us. We pray for areas in our nation that are affected by natural disasters. We ask that you would bring comfort to those who've lost so much. We pray for those sicknesses and illnesses of those that we love, those who are going through treatments, those who are facing or recovering from surgery, those struggling with mental health, addiction, or other things that affect our day-to-day living. We pray for relationships in our homes, in our workplaces, at our schools, in our communities. We ask that we might bring a light that brings together rather than divides. Where there are struggles and stress, God, would you bring healing and wholeness? And God, in all the things, we continue to come to you. We name that, God, you are the great and holy God of heaven and earth. And when it seems like this world is just spinning out of control so often, you are the one who holds all things in the palm of your hand. And there's not a hair that can fall from our head without your will. And so, God, we come before you in hope and in trust. We believe in you and your perfect plan. May that come forth in us and through us and around us now and always. We ask all of this in the name of our precious Savior Jesus. Amen. Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.